The special favor of Allah, Holy Allah. The universe is the body and its soul, Holy Allah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Musaleen. Amma ba'd, a'udhu billahi min shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. As-salatu was-salamu alayki ya Rasulullah wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Habiballah. As-salatu was-salamu alayki ya Nabi Allah wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Nurallah. MashaAllah, viewers of Madani Channel, welcome to our series of programs Yesterday, Today and Tomorrow. And if you've been watching these series of programs, you realize that what we try to do in these series of programs, we delve into our rich heritage, the history of Islam. We look back into our rich heritage. And yes, as Muslims, we have a rich heritage. And this is the first problem. This is the problem I keep on talking about. That as Muslims, we're not aware. We're not aware of our rich heritage. We're not aware that we have these great role models of the past. We have the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have our pious predecessors. We have none other than the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And all of these people are role models for us. But unfortunately, we don't take them as role models. And why don't we take them as role models? Because we don't know anything about their lives. We may have heard the names we mentioned in the Friday khutbah. We may have heard the names mentioned by scholars every now and then. But do we know anything about their lives? And in this series of programs, Yesterday, Today and Tomorrow, we look into the past, we look into yesterday so that we can learn something from yesterday, so that we can make a change today, so that we can have a better tomorrow. And inshallah, today we are going to delve into our past again and look at one of the great personalities of the past. Maybe again, a name that you've heard of, but do we know anything about him? Inshallah, we're going to find out. But before we begin, as on every program, we give you the blessing of reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the intention here is that we try to encourage you to recite Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And also by encouraging you, if you remember the blessing of reciting Durood e Pak and you pass that on to others so that other people can benefit us, so that inshallah azawajal, all of us become habitual in reciting Durood e Pak. The blessing that we have today is the final Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has reported to have said, "There is no Muslim who sends salat upon me except that the angel sends salat upon him for as long as he does so." So it is up to the person whether he sends less or more. Now we all know the blessings of reciting Durood e Pak, that our name is presented in the court of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Father's name is presented in the court of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But here we also hear that not only that, when we send salutations upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying to us that the angels, they're sending salutations upon us as well. So we're getting the direct blessings from the angels. And just imagine nowadays people, you know, I remember recently that, you know, there was when Nigrani Shura came here to the UK. And he said to the brothers that those people that are going to willing to travel in the way of Allah, I am on a Madri Kafa for more than a month, give me their name and I will present their name in the court of Amir al-Sunnah, the founder of Dawah Islam. So a lot of brothers were encouraged, yes, I want to go. And a lot of brothers gave their name. But we are also told that if a person sends salawat, sends Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then his name, Allahu Akbar, not only is his name, but also his father's name will be presented in the court of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best court, the best place to have your name presented. So make a habit of sending Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you do this, then inshallah, you know, keep on saying this, put some time aside. You know, we all have busy lifestyle. I know we have a busy lifestyle, but nowadays we can multitask. We can be traveling to work. Whilst you're traveling, recite Durood e Pak. Coming back from work, recite Durood e Pak. Waiting for a customer, recite Durood e Pak. Waiting for a bus, recite Durood e Pak. Waiting time should never be wasted time. And one of the best ways of utilizing your time is sending Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So please make a habit, and we've said it many times before, that who knows, this one extra Durood e Pak that we recite today might make all the difference on the Day of Judgment. Views of Madani Channel, it's been narrated that Sayyidina Lath bin Sa'ad Rahmatullah states that I once went to Makkah with the intention of performing the Hajj. After performing the Asr prayer, I traveled towards the Mount Abu Qabais, which is a near Masjid al-Haram. And I saw a man sitting down supplicating. He was going, "Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi." And then he ran out of breath. And then he started reciting, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. He recited it again so much that he ran out of breath. Then he started, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. Again, he ran out of breath. And he continued this. He continued until he read out of breath. And when he finished his recitation, he supplicated in the court of Allah. O Allah, I desire to eat grapes, so feed me. Allah Akbar. He then said that my shawl is ripped, so grant me a new one. Now Sayyidina Lahad bin Sa'ad, Ramadullah, he says, that I swear by Allah, I saw a crate full of grapes, even though it was not the seasonal food, that a crate full of grapes appeared beside him, and I saw two new shawls. When he started eating, I said to him, that I was part of this dua. I had my hands up as well. I was part of this dua. Can I also take part in this? And he said, come, eat in the name of Allah and do not leave any leftovers. Allahu Akbar. So he said, I went forward and I started eating the grapes. And the grapes were seedless, he said. And I had never eaten grapes so tasty as these. Therefore, I ate to my heart's content. But the number of grapes in the crate did not decrease. He then said, take a shawl that you like. And he said, I'm not in need of a shawl. The man said, okay, leave this place for a while so I can wear these new shawls. So I moved away and I sat behind some cover. He wore one of the shawls as a thaband, and the cloth wound around the waist, and then he covered himself with the other. He then took the old shawls and left. I followed him until he met a person in Safa Marwa who said to him, O paternal relative of the beloved Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, clothe me. Allah the generous will clothe you. So he handed over the two shawls to the person. I then asked that person, Allah have mercy upon you. Who is this person? Because he didn't know who this person was that had been doing all this dua that Allah azza wa jalla had given in the graves. He didn't know who this person was that Allah azza wa jalla had given them shawls. The man replied that this is Sayyidina Jafar bin Muhammad, i.e. Imam Jafar Sadiq, Ramadullah Ta'ala. Sayyidina Layth Ramadullah Ta'ala states that after this, I tried searching for him, but I could not find him, and I was very upset that he had left. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of Madin Channel, all lovers of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all lovers of the Ahle Bayt, we are talking today about Sayyidina Imam Jafar Sadiq, Ramadullah Ta'ala. And he performed many, many miracles, and this was just one of the miracles that he performed. And he was also a great friend of Allah, a wali of Allah, and he was also a scholar of Islam as well. And today, inshallah, we're going to give a brief introduction into his life. We're going to give some of the miracles that he said and some of the sayings that he said as well. And hopefully, in listening to this, it'll encourage you to read more about the life of our past predecessors. Imam Jafar Sadiq Rahmatullah Ta'ala was born on the 17th of Rabiul Awal in the year of 80 or 83 Hijri on the day of Monday. And he was born in the blessed city of Medina. He was known as Abu Abdullah and Abu Ismail, where his titles were Sadiq, Fadil and Tahir. He would always tell the truth, so he was known as Sadiq. He was exactly as his name suggested, and his actions reflected that too. The mother of Sayyidina Imam Jafar Sadiq Rahmatullah Ta'ala was Sayyidina Umm Farwa bint Qasim bin Muhammad bin Abu Bakr Sadiq radiyallahu ta'ala. And his father's name was Sayyidina Imam Muhammad Bakr bin Ali Zain al-Abidin bin Imam Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala, meaning that Imam Jafar Sadiq Rahmatullah Ta'ala was a Siddiqi from his mother's side and from the family, and a Husseini Sayyid from his father's side. Sayyidina Imam Jafar Sadiq Rahmatullah Ta'ala is a Tabai from the generation of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He saw two noble companions, Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiyallahu ta'ala and Sayyidina Sa'al bin Sa'ad radiyallahu ta'ala. His son, Sayyidina Imam Musa Qazim, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Sayyidina Sufyan Thuri, and Sayyidina Sufyan bin Uyayna all took blessings from Sayyidina Imam Jafar Sadiq. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of the channel, we're going to take a small break now. We've got a little package for you, inshallah. And after the package, we're going to give you some events from the life of Imam Jafar Sadiq. Let's go to the first package of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
There's a very beautiful story that has been mentioned by Amir al-Sunnah in one of his booklets. It says that a small child who was a Sayyid, yani from the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, and he was stood outside his house and he was crying. A man approached him and said, "Oh my son, oh Sayyid Zadeh, oh the Prince of Paradise, why are you crying?" And the child started to cry even more loudly. And the person asked him that, "Please tell me, what has made you cry?" And this small child, he says, "Uncle, I have seen that when people light fire, they throw little planks of wood first, and then when the fire catches them and the fire erupts, then they throw the big planks of wood and then they catch fire as well. I'm scared. What if Allah Ta'ala throws children like me, who are small children, in the fire of hell first, and then he throws the big kuffar like Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab and Fir'aun and all these people? What will happen to us?" And the little child started to cry again. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, do you know who this little child was? This little child grew up to be Imam Ja'far Sadiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the great Imam. These are great personalities, yet look at their fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. These are people that were destined to go to the gardens of paradise. We don't know where we are going to go, but how much do we fear Allah Azza wa Jal? How much do we fear about the fire of hell? How much do we fear Allah Azza wa Jal? We miss our salah, we swear, we backbite, we do many, many sins. Yeah, we do not have that fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. And people like Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who are the true role models for our society, look at their fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. Let's learn a lesson from them and let's change our life for the better. Alhamdulillah, we are in the month of Rajabul Murajab. This month is a very, very beautiful and a very sacred month in Islam. So let's start to make ourselves pious Muslims. This is the month that we can sow the seeds of goodness, inshallah. Let's all make this intention that in the month of Rajab, we will inshallah increase our worship as well. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, viewers of Mother Channel, you're watching yesterday, today and tomorrow. And again, like I said at the beginning of the program, in this series of programs, we delve into our rich heritage so we can learn something from yesterday, make a change in our lives today and have a better tomorrow. And today, we are talking about one of the tabi'een, the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we're talking today about none other than Imam Ja'far Sadiq rahmatullahi ta'ala. And before the break, we mentioned a little bit about his life. We mentioned one of the miracles that he performed, but we're also going to give you some more events that took place during his life so you can understand what a great personality he was and some of the miracles that he performed. And you know, these miracles that people perform, it is only through the fact that they are close to Allah that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given them this authority. You know, I'm not a wali of Allah, I cannot perform the miracles. But these people, because it's not that they were, you know, people say, oh, they could do magic. No. It's not like that. It's because of the closeness, the friendship that they had with Allah, that they had this authority, they had this ability. Why? Because Allah Azza wa Jalla gave them this. Allah Azza wa Jal give them all of these things. And this is something that we need to fully understand, that all of these things, all of these capabilities, all of these things that were performed by the will of Allah. And I'm going to give you a few events that took place during his life. It is narrated that a man were traveling with Sayyidina Imam Ja'far Sadiq rahmatullah ta'ala, and they were going to perform the Hajj. And they said that along the way, we stopped by some dried date palm trees. The trees were completely dry. There was no dates on them. And we stopped there. And Imam Ja'far Sadiq rahmatullah ta'ala whispered something to himself, which I could not comprehend. He said something to himself. He said, I could not comprehend what he was saying. But then he said to the withered trees, he said to the trees, these were dry trees, they had no dates on them. He said to them, feed us from the sustenance that Allah Azza wa Jal has provided for us in you. Allahu Akbar. At that very moment, bundles of dates began to hang towards him from the tree. The trees lowered their branches. He then said to me, come closer and eat in the name of Allah. He said, I had never eaten dates as delicious as those. Allah Azza wa Jal have mercy upon him and forgive us without accountability for his sake. Allahu Akbar. Just one of the miracles. It is also stated that once, that the supplications, when he made a dua, you know, when pious people make a dua, you know why? You know, we say that whatever illness, whatever problem we have in our life, then we should do dua. That's the cure for literally all illness, to do dua, ya Allah, you know, take this problem away, ya Allah, do this. But also at the same time, what we do is, we like pious people to do dua for us. Because the dua of pious people, you know, there is more chance of it being accepted. Why? Because they are pious people. They are closer to Allah. In the same way, people would come to Imam Jafar Sadiq Rahmatullah and ask him to do dua. And they said that his duas were always accepted. And it stated that a man requested Imam Jafar Sadiq Rahmatullah. He said, can you do dua in the court of Allah? And can you do dua in the court of Allah to bless him with such an abundance of wealth so that he could perform the Hajj? And he supplicated, oh Allah, grant this man an abundance of wealth so he can perform the Hajj 50 times. Allahu Akbar. So the person said to Imam Jafar Sadiq Rahmatullah, can you do dua? Can you do dua that I can perform the Hajj? And Imam Jafar Sadiq Rahmatullah, he did dua, he raised his hands in the court of Allah, ya Allah, give him enough wealth so he can perform 50 Hajj. Now before I go on, just pause here for a second. How many of us request or do duas for these sort of things? Ya Allah, give me wealth. Why? So I can get my kitchen extension done. Ya Allah, give me wealth so I can buy a new car. Ya Allah, give me wealth so I can buy a new house. Ya Allah, give me wealth so I can get married. Ya Allah, give me wealth so I can get my daughters married. But what are we seeing here? Ya Allah, give me wealth so I can perform the Hajj. Again, this is the mindset of these people. You know, they didn't live for the dunya. And nowadays, our lives are such that we're living for the dunya. That we want a bigger house, we want a newer car, we want all of these things. We want branded shoes, branded clothes, branded bags. We want all these branded things that have been marketed to us. Modern society tells us what kind of clothes you wear. Modern society tells you what kind of shoes you wear because of the branding, because of the marketing. And this is something that we need to remove from ourselves. And we look at the people of the past, how they lived a simple life. You know, they wanted wealth. Why did they want wealth? You know, did they not want a bigger house? Did they not want better food? No, ya, you know, Sayyidi, please do dua for me. Do dua for me what? Ya Allah, give me wealth. For what? To do with that wealth? To perform the Hajj. Allahu Akbar. And the miracle is this, that Imam Jafar Sadiq Rahmatullah, when he raised his hands, and he said, ya Allah, give this person wealth in abundance to perform what? 50 Hajj. 50 Hajj. And it stated that he received so much wealth that he managed to perform 50 Hajj 50 times. So he must have lived at least another 50 years. And when he reached Al-Jufa to perform the Hajj for the 51st time, he went into the river to perform ghusl, but the strong waves and tide took him away and he drowned. Allahu Akbar. 50 Hajj. Allah Azza wa Jalla blessed him with that much wealth that he performed 50 Hajj. And again, you think that these people, what did they want to do? I wanted to perform the Hajj. I want to go on the Umrah. I want to do this. And nowadays, you know, we've said it before on Madani Channel that, you know, nowadays people talk about a bucket list, a list of things that they want to do in their life. I want to go here. I want to go here. I want to go here. I want to do this. I want to do that. Where on our list is it to please our Rabb? Where on our list is it to go on the Hajj? Where on our list is to go on Umrah? Where on our list is to go and visit the resting places of our pious predecessors? Where on our list is it to go to the blessed city of Medina? Where is it? Where on our list is that one day I want to go to Baghdad? I want to go and visit the resting place of Ghawse Pak Rahmatullah. Where is it on our list? Is it on our list? No. And that again is where we need to change our mentality. We need to think about what do we want to achieve with our lives. And we look at the people of the past, what did they achieve? How many pious predecessors can you name, number one? And two, if you can name them, what did they leave behind? What did they all leave behind? What was the legacy that they left behind? What mansions did they leave behind? What land did they leave behind? It is stated that once someone came out of the masjid and he saw the people outside the masjid and he said to them that inside the house of Allah, inside the masjid, the inheritance of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being distributed. So the people ran into the masjid. What were they looking for? What did they think they were going to achieve? And when they came out, they grabbed at that person and said, you said the inheritance was being distributed. And he said, what did you see in the masjid? And they said, we saw people in the corner. There was a study circle there. They were teaching the Quran. They were teaching the fiqh. They were teaching the sunnah. They were giving the knowledge of the deen to people. And the person smiled and said, that is the inheritance of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we want to inherit anything from our pious predecessors, if we want to inherit anything from the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if we want to inherit anything from the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is knowledge. It is the knowledge of the deen. And this is where we see the people of the past, that this is what they wanted. They struggled and strived for this. We look at the life of Ghawse Pak. When Ghawse Pak Rahmatullah Ta'ala went to Baghdad, and we hear the famous story that he went there and he had 40 gold coins, and when he went there, the money ran out. When the money ran out, what did he do? Did he, you know, get on the next trip back to come back home, because I've not got any food, I haven't got any money, I need to go back home to eat, to sleep? He could have gone back home. He could have gone back to his mother. His mother would have fed him, his mother would have clothed him, and the mother would have looked after him, mother would have given him everything. But no, he stayed. And they say he survived off leaves, he survived off rainwater. He ate this and he survived off this. Why did he stay? Because of knowledge. He knew the importance of knowledge. He knew that knowledge was the cure for sick souls. He knew that this was what he wanted to achieve in his life. And he went through trials and tribulations, and he went all this. Why? To acquire the knowledge of Allah. To acquire the knowledge of the deen, to get the marifat of Allah, to get closer to Allah. What are our intentions now? When we go to the colleges and the universities to acquire our knowledge, why? What is our intention? Is our intention to acquire this knowledge so that we can do the work of deen? Is our intention so that we can do this because we want to be able to get this status, get this house, or get this? More than likely, yes. Is there ever our intention to acquire this knowledge so that, you know what, with this knowledge, I can serve the deen? I can serve the ummah. I can benefit the ummah. I can help the ummah. You know, today, we just heard over the last couple of days that a huge earthquake took place in Turkey. And many, many people have passed away. May Allah Azza wa Jal forgive them and make them enter paradise without accountability. And may Allah Azza wa Jal provide ease to all the people that are suffering there. And alhamdulillah, your Dawat Islami is raising funds to be able to go there in the affected area. But at the same time, you know, it makes you think that life is so short. You know, and at this time that those people that have the ability to go and help the people that are ill. So if a person became a doctor now and he said, you know what, you know, I will help the ummah. And you see people now, doctors are running there. You know, they're not going there for a salary. They're not going there for the money. They're not going there for status. They're not going there for likes on social media. They're going there to help the ummah. They have acquired that knowledge, worldly knowledge, but also they're now using that worldly knowledge to serve the ummah. And that is something that we need to be aware of. Viewers of the channel, we're just going to take another break now. We're going to go to a kalam of the day, inshallah. Hopefully, a munkabat about Imam Jafar Sadiq, rahmatullah ta'ala. And when we come back, we're going to continue with the topic of the day. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Faizane imam Jafar Sadiq jaari rahega insha Allah jaari rahega insha Allah jaari rahega insha Allah jaari rahega insha Allah Jafar Sadiq Jafar Sadiq Jafar Sadiq Jafar Hazrat imam Jafar Sadiq Jafar Hazrat imam Jafar Sadiq Jafar karam se hum par imam Jafar hai saaya gustar imam Jafar hame ho kyun kar imam Jafar adu ka ab dar imam Jafar safa ke pay kar imam Jafar ghareeb parwar imam Jafar haya ke pay kar imam Jafar hamare rahbar imam Jafar tu door dilbar imam Jafar gham o alam kar imam Jafar Jafar, Hazrat Imam Jafar Sadiq. Jafar, Hazrat Imam Jafar Sadiq. صداقتوں کی دلیل جعفر نبی کے عکس جمیل جعفر صداقتوں کی دلیل جعفر نبی کے عکس جمیل جعفر حسینی صورت حسن کی سیرت علی کے ابن جلیل جعفر حسینی صورت حسن کی سیرت علی کے ابن جلیل جعفر علی کے ابن جلیل جعفر حضرت جعفر صادق جعفر صادق جعفر صادق
جعفر
حضرت امام جعفر صادق نقیب سادات ان کی ہستی نسب میں ایسے اصیل جعفر نقیب سادات ان کی ہستی نسب میں ایسے اصیل جعفر بروز محشر برائے بخشش ہے آسیوں کے وکیل جعفر بروز محشر برائے بخشش ہے آسیوں کے وکیل جعفر ہے آسیوں کے وکیل جعفر حضرت امام جعفر صادق جعفر صادق جعفر صادق
جعفر
حضرت امام جعفر صادق کیا ہے ملت پہ تو نے احسان صدا ہو اجر جزیل جعفر کیا ہے ملت پہ تو نے احسان صدا ہو اجر جزیل جعفر کمال ایسا ہے تیرے اندر نہیں ہے کوئی مثیل جعفر کمال ایسا ہے تیرے اندر نہیں ہے کوئی مثیل جعفر نہیں ہے کوئی مثیل جعفر حضرت امام جعفر
صادق
جعفر صادق جعفر صادق جعفر صادق
جعفر
حضرت امام جعفر صادق ہمیں کسی کا ہو خوف کیوں کر ہے مومنوں کے کفیل جعفر ہمیں کسی کا ہو خوف کیوں کر ہے مومنوں کے کفیل جعفر ابھی مٹے سارے غم ہمارے بس ایک نگاہ قلیل جعفر ابھی مٹے سارے غم ہمارے بس ایک نگاہ قلیل جعفر بس ایک نگاہ قلیل جعفر حضرت امام جعفر
جعفر
جعفر صادق جعفر صادق جعفر صادق
جعفر
حضرت امام جعفر صادق انہیں مصیبت میں جو پکارے نکالتے ہیں سبیل جعفر انہیں مصیبت میں جو پکارے نکالتے ہیں سبیل جعفر جہاں پہ باطل ہے خم فریدی ہے دین کی وہ فصیل جعفر جہاں پہ باطل ہے خم فریدی ہے دین کی وہ فصیل جعفر ہے دین کی وہ فصیل جعفر حضرت امام جعفر
جعفر
جعفر صادق جعفر صادق جعفر صادق
جعفر
حضرت امام جعفر صادق کرم سے ہم پر
امام جعفر
ہے سایہ گستر
امام جعفر
ہمیں ہو کیوں کر
امام جعفر
عدو کا اب ڈر
امام جعفر
سخا کے پیکر
امام جعفر
غریب پرور
امام جعفر
حیا کے پیکر
امام جعفر
ہمارے رہبر
امام جعفر
تو دور دل بر
امام جعفر
غم و علم کر
امام جعفر
جعفر
حضرت امام جعفر سا
جعفر
حضرت امام جعفر سا
صدق صادق کا تصدق صادق الاسلام کر
صادق الاسلام کر
بے غضب راضی ہو کاظم اور رضا کے واسطے
اور رضا کے واسطے
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. MashaAllah viewers of Mother Channel, you're watching yesterday, today and tomorrow. And in these series of programs, we look to yesterday, try and learn something from yesterday so we can make a change today so we can have a better tomorrow. And today, in today's program, we're talking about Imam Jafar Sadiq rahmatullahi ta'ala. And we mentioned a few events that took place. And I want to mention something here about his humbleness, his humility. And instead, although he had the noble lineage that he had that we mentioned before, Sayyidina Imam Jafar Sadiq rahmatullahi, he was a very humble and a very modest person. It is stated that on one occasion, the esteemed student of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah ta'ala, Sayyidina Dawtai rahmatullah, said to Imam Jafar rahmatullah ta'ala, that as you are from the Ahl Bayt, give me some advice. It is stated that Sayyidina Imam Jafar Sadiq rahmatullah, he remained silent. He again and then said to him, as you are from the Ahl Bayt, Allah Azza wa Jal has bestowed blessings upon you. Therefore, it is necessary for you to give me some advice. After hearing this, and you need to listen to this, please pay attention to what I'm going to say to you now. Allahu Akbar. After hearing this, Sayyidina Imam Jafar Sadiq rahmatullah, he said, I myself am fearful that my grandfather, i.e. the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he takes my hand on the day of judgment and he asks me why I did not follow him. He said that salvation is not achieved through lineage, but through performing good deeds. After hearing this, Sayyidina Dawood, rahmatullah ta'ala, he started crying. And he said to himself that when the individual whose grandfather is the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is expressing this level of fear, then where do I stand? Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. The grandson of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's saying that salvation is not achieved through lineage. Salvation is achieved through good deeds. And he was scared, he was afraid that on the day of judgment, his grandfather will grab hold of his hand and said, why did you not follow me? Allahu Akbar. And we're hearing about the ibadat, we're hearing about the worship that they had. Imam Jafar Sadiq rahmatullah, that he had great mannerisms. He would always have a smile on his face. You know, they're saying smiling is a sunnah. But it's stated that when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was mentioned, he would cry out of reverence and honor in his name. He would always be in a state of wuzu when narrating a hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he would be busy himself in prayer and recitation. Otherwise, he would remain silent. His speech was free from the mention of futile matters. Again, these sort of qualities that we look at our time, you know, do we read the salah? Do we read the Quran? Do we perform the zikr? Do we refrain from futile speech? Do we do these things? And if we look at our day today, that on a date, on today's date, with the end of today, do we read our salah today? Do we read the Quran today? What sins did we commit today? What futile speech? What wasteful time? What time did we waste today? And if we're honest with ourselves, then we've wasted that time. We've not achieved what we could achieve today. Sayyidina Imam Jafar Sadiq rahmatullah, he was an embodiment of knowledge. He was known for his ibadat and for his spiritual struggle. Imam Malik Rahmatullah Ta'ala, he himself mentions that I would visit Sayyidina Imam Jafar Rahmatullah Ta'ala, and I always saw him busy in one of three worships. He was always busy in one of the three things. He would either be praying, he would either be reciting the Quran, or he would be observing a fast. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of my channel, we make this claim that we are lovers of the Ahl-e Bayt. We learn here how Imam Malik Rahmatullah would always see Imam Jafar Sadiq Rahmatullah busy in worship. We should ponder. We should ponder as to how much time we spend in the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla and His Messenger. What is the condition of our ibadah? What is the condition of our salah? Do we recite the Quran on a daily basis? Imam Jafar Sadiq Rahmatullah would offer his obligatory prayers, and not only offer the obligatory prayers, he would also offer the nafil prayers as well. Whereas our state is that we can't even observe the fard namaz upon us. And when we talk about the nafil prayers, what are the nafil prayers? Oh, we know the nafil prayers within the salah, but do we know about chasht, ishraq, awabin, tahajjud? Do we know about these things? Tahiyatul wuzu, tahiyatul masjid, these are opportunities for us to pray. But do we? No, we don't. And again, it's our lack of knowledge, lack of fear of Allah. You know, I've said it many times before on Madani Channel that, you know, if I was to ask you a question now, a fiqhi question about, I don't know, inheritance, and say that if a person has three daughters, two sons, and he has this and he has that, what would the inheritance be? You'd struggle. But if I was to ask you, even the 8-year-old child that is watching now, is namaz farz upon you? You will all say yes. So we know that it's farz upon us. We know that it's obligatory. Then why are we not performing it? We look at our pious predecessors. They never missed it. These are our role models. It is obligatory upon us to pray 5 times a day. No ifs, no buts, no excuses. But unfortunately, we see it. But very, very few people pray. We make all sorts of excuses. Oh, I'm traveling. I'm not feeling well. It's cold. I've got a headache. Just recently, I traveled on a plane, and during the plane journey, three salahs came. I saw maybe one or two people getting up. And my belief is that 80% of the people that are on that plane, they were Muslims. But the rest didn't bother. Why? What excuses are we making to ourselves? Again, something we need to ask ourselves, why am I not praying? Why am I missing my salah? Why am I not reading the Quran? There's something wrong with me. And I should be fearful that what is wrong with me? In the same way that when a person starts walking and he gets out of breath and he thinks to himself, there's something wrong with me, I need to see a doctor. I'm getting out of breath. I need to check my heart. I need to check my lungs. I need to check my blood pressure. I need to check my oxygen levels. There's something wrong with me because I can't walk, I can't run. If you are missing your salah, why? What is wrong with you? There's something wrong with us. And we need to look at ourselves and think, what is wrong with me that I cannot perform my salah? We need to do a personal examination, and if we don't do that, then it's our loss. You know, in the same way that when you go to the doctors, and I've said it before on Madani Channel, that you get a medical report and it tells you your cholesterol, your sugar, your iron levels, and as a result of that, you make changes to your lifestyle. You, if need be, you take medicine, you have cure for that. What about doing a spiritual examination on ourselves? Do I lie? Do I cheat? Do I backbite? Do I pray? Do I fast? Do I give my zakat? And if not, why not? If you are committing them sins, then why are you committing them sins? What are you going to do to change yourself? You need to be your own doctor when it comes to these things. In the same way you're your own doctor, that you change your lifestyle, but here you also need to be your own doctor and make a change in your life to look after your iman. This is what we need to do to make those changes in our life. Look at our ibadat. Look at the way we're living our life. Look at our pious predecessors, that they would always be busy in doing the ibadat. Were they not human beings like me and you? Did they not want to eat and drink and sleep? Did they not have families to look after? Did they not want a house? Yes. They needed food. They needed sustenance. Yes, they had families to look after. Yes, they needed a house. Yes, they needed all those things. But they kept them in limit. And nowadays we see people, oh, I've got to work hard. I've got to work 12 hours a day. Why? Because they've got a huge mortgage on the house. People are crying, I need more money, I need more money. Why do you need more money? Because I need to pay my mortgage. I need to pay my installments on my house. And you look at the house and it's such a huge house. Why have you got such a huge house? Can you not live in a small house? Or I have to pay my installment on the car. Why have you got such a new car? Why are you putting this burden on you? By putting this burden on yourself, this financial burden on yourself, what is happening? You're working day and night to pay off your debts. You haven't got time to read the Quran. You haven't got time to perform your salah. You haven't got time to fast. What is your excuse going to be on the day of judgment? Oh, I had to pay my installments. Do you think that just because you have huge installments to pay, huge debts to pay, that it is no longer fard upon you to read your salah? That fatwa doesn't exist. Do you think that because you have these installments to pay, that you have to work 12 hours a day to pay off, that you are free from fasting during the month of Ramadan? No, you're not. There's no excuses. And what has happened is we put this burden on ourselves. We put this burden on ourselves in this dunya. We burden ourselves with this dunya. You know, they say that by this dunya is like a ship going through the ocean. You have to travel on the ship. We have to be in this dunya. The ocean is the dunya. We have to travel across this dunya. We have to travel through this dunya to get to our destination. But the problem happens is when the dunya starts coming in the ship. When the water starts coming in the ship starts to sink, and we are drowned in the dunya, and we fail to get to our destination. We need to think about this. The month of Ramadan is coming. We need to make sure that we take the full months of the month of Ramadan. But in the same way, you see someone that goes and joins a marathon, he runs for 26 miles in a marathon. He doesn't just turn up at the starting point and run 26 miles. He prepares himself. He trains himself, gets him ready for that time. In the same way, we are now in this month, we need to prepare ourselves. We're in the month of Rajab. Prepare yourself for the month of Ramadan. Start reading the Quran. Make sure you're reading your namaz 5 times a day. Do the optional fasts. Start doing your zikr askar so that when the month of Ramadan comes and the reward is so much greater, you can benefit from it. And we see the people of the past that they used to look forward to the month of Ramadan. They used to put things aside. Nowadays, if you've got any cars that need repairing, get them done now. You need any work that does do anything, get it done now so that the month of Ramadan is blocked off so you do the minimum amount of work and you do the maximum amount of pleasing your Rabb. Viewers of the channel, we're going to take a small break now, the final package of the day, inshallah. Time is flying. I realize I've got so much to say to you, but then I think an hour is a long time, but then before I know it, time's gone. We're going to go to the final package of the day, and inshallah, we're going to come back with some blessed words from the life of Imam Jafar Sadiq Rahmatullah Ta'ala. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
O devotees of the Sahaba and the Ahlul Bayt, to recite Fatiha on rice pudding and other foods with the intention of sending reward isal sawab to the renowned Tabi'i Sayyidina Imam Jafar Sadiq rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi is called Kunde ke niyaz, or Kheerpuri niyaz, as we call it, subhanallah. The root of all of these is sending reward, which is totally permissible as long as there is nothing contradicting the Sharia in it. Subhanallah, one can prepare food for Kheerpuri niyaz throughout Rajab, in fact, throughout the year if he wants. But it is appropriate to prepare the Kheerpuri niyaz or the Kunde ke niyaz in the month of Rajab on the 15th of Rajabul Murajab, as it is the day of the urs of Sayyidina Imam Jafar Sadiq rahmatullahi ta'ala, just as it is mentioned in Fatawa Faqih Millat on volume 2, page number 265. Prepare food for Fatiha of Sayyidina Imam Jafar Sadiq rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi on the 15th of Rajab, because he rahmatullahi ta'ala passed away on the 15th of Rajab. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for their sake. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I've not got a lot of time and I want to say a lot to you. Let's see what we can do, insha'Allah azza wa jal. It is stated that Sayyidina Imam Jafar Sadiq rahmatullahi ta'ala, he would remember death. He would go to the cemetery at night and he would say, O dwellers of the grave, what is the matter? I call out to you, but you do not reply. He then stated, there is a veil between you and I. However, I will become like you in the future. He would continue saying this until the morning. Then he would travel to the masjid to offer the Fajr prayer. Imam Jafar Sadiq Rahmatullah stated, O son of Adam, why do you weep at the loss of something? This sadness will not bring it back. Why are you arrogant because of something you possess? Death will cause it to separate from you. Viewers of Mother Channel, how often do we think about death? The inevitable thing. The only certainty that we have in life. I'm not sure exactly when I will get home today. I'm not sure exactly what I'll be eating today. I'm not sure what I'll be eating tomorrow. I'm not sure about anything in my life. I can try and guess and think that maybe this will happen, maybe that will happen. But there's only one certainty in life, and that is death. And that's something that we need to ponder over. That do we think about that inevitable time? And then the other question is, when will it come? That is a question you need to answer. And the problem is, you can't answer. Because you don't know the answer. Because nobody knows the answer. And if nobody knows the answer, then we need to be ready all the time. Are we ready? You go to the graveyards in this country and we see that the graves are pre-dug. You go to people's houses and they say, oh, I got a coffin when I went to on Umrah or Hajj. I got a coffin from there soaked in Zamzam water. Your grave is ready. Your coffin is ready. Are you ready? That is something that we need to ponder over. And we need to be ready for that day. It is stated that Sayyidina Imam Jafar Sadiq Rahmatullah, he said, do not adopt the company of five types of people. And hopefully I'll be able to cover these five types of people before the end of the program. I know I've not got a lot of time. Number one, he said, the one who lies excessively, because you will be deceived by him. He's like a mirage, a vapor resembling the sea at a distance, formed by the rays of the sun or moonlight on a sandy plain. He will bring the distant closer to you, but repel the ones who are close to you. So do not make the company of people who lie. But again, not only do not make the company of people lie, but what about us? Have we got that bad habit where we lie? Are we teaching our children to lie by lying in front of them? Are we honest, truthful people? What do people think about us? Are we noted in our communities? Are we noted by our neighbors that this person's an honest person? He's a truthful person. Or do people think, you know what, he's a bit dodgy? He lies. What do our colleagues, what do our neighbors think about you and me? Do they think that we are liars, we are cheaters, we are dishonest people? Do people, you know, trust us, or do people run away from us? And think about that time, that when you're in that dark and lonely grave, and what people think about you will reflect your state. Allahu Akbar. Number two, Imam Jafar Sadiq Rahmatullah Ta'ala states, do not adopt the company of these people. Number two, a foolish individual, because you will not acquire anything from him. He will desire to bring you benefit, but you will only receive loss. Again, the benefit of sitting with pious people, sitting with knowledgeable people. If you sit with people that have knowledge, you can benefit from them. But if you sit with someone that doesn't, then what are you going to do? It's stated that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that in that gathering in which the zikr of Allah azza wa jalla is not done, in that gathering in which salutations are not sent on the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then that gathering can become a burden for you. And it's up to Allah azza wa jalla whether he punishes you or he forgives you for that gathering. So in that gathering where you're not achieving anything, then that can become a burden for you. That can become a punishment for you. So adopt the gathering of pious people. Because when you sit with pious people, when you sit with people of knowledge, one thing you will realize, well, I've realized, I know nothing. You sit with these people of knowledge and they're talking, you think, you know what? I don't know anything. And that is what we realize. We realize by sitting with these people, we have no knowledge. So we need to sit with these people to gather knowledge, gather people to them, learn of them. Because the most foolish person you can have is the person who thinks he has knowledge. The wise person is he who doesn't think he has knowledge. And he's striving to get more and more and more. Number three. Sayyidina Imam Jafar Sadiq Rahmatullah Ta'ala states, the one who is miserly, because if you are in a desperate need of money, he will end the friendship. A person who is very miserly with his money, when you need him, when you need his help, when you need his money, he's going to run away from you. Because his money means more to him than your friendship. Number four, a coward. Because coward during a difficult time, he will leave you and run away. If you have a friend who is a coward, then when you have that difficult time, when you're facing a problem in your life, he'll not be there. He'll not be there to face your difficulties. And number five, a transgressor. Because he will betray you for less than a morsel. Somebody asked, what is less than a morsel? And he replied, to have greed and not being able to satisfy it. So here, Sayyidina Imam Jafar Sadiq rahmatullah ta'ala, he's talking about our company, about our people that we sit and, you know, mingle with. Who are those people? Have you ever thought about who your friends are? Do you ever think about the quality of your friends, the people that you sit with, you associate with? All right, not everybody has a true friend. Okay, that is a blessing as well, a true friend. But the people that you associate with, the people that you associate with, when you close your eyes and think about them, do you think about the worldly things that they possess? The car, the house, the money, the status, the power, the facilities that they have, the resources that they have. Or when you close your eyes and think about your friend, do you think about the fact that that person, he invites you to the masjid, he invites you to the weekly ijtama', he encourages you to travel in the Madri Kafla, he does the Madrasatul Madina Balagan and encourages you to go there and study there. Ask yourself, which one is your friend? And I can tell you this, viewers of Manshal, that person that when you close your eyes and you think that this person is bringing you closer to Allah, he is your true friend. And we need to examine our friends. Viewers of Mother Channel, you've been watching yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And in today's very brief introduction into the life and teachings of Imam Jafar Sadiq, rahmatullah ta'ala, I'm hoping that we've learned something about his life. During these months of Rajab and Shaban, we remember him. We celebrate his life. We do khatam in his name as well. And again, this is something that we should do in the name of our pious predecessors. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jal that through his life, through his sacrifices, through his teachings, through his blessings, we can also benefit from it. And that Allah favors us and blesses us through him, that we can all enter paradise without accountability. Viewers of Mother Channel, you've been watching yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Until the next time, keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The special favor of Allah, Allah. The universe is the body and its soul, Allah.